G'day, it's Barry here. Thanks for downloading another Dead Set Legends podcast with Angela Sun and Andrew Embley.
This week we caught up with the Premier, who spoke to us live from Cottesloe Beach about the Rottnest Channel Swim.
And we spoke to Brant Garvey about being the HBF ambassador and what it was like to compete in an Ironman triathlon with an artificial limb.
And we had a chat to Rodney Hogg about the Cricket World Cup. Oh, look, one of the iconic events in Western Australia is on this morning and it's underway. I think the first swimmers were off at 5.30 this morning.
And yeah, of course, 5.45.
5.45. And they're swimming to Rotto. And the official starter, of course, is the Premier of the state, Mr. Colin Barnett, and he joins us on the line. Morning, Cole. How are you?
Bit cold. The sun's out. It's warming up. But the last group of swimmers are now about 300 metres off the shore. So long way, 19 kilometres to Rottnest, but I hope they're warm.
Jeez, it's a huge swim, isn't it? Have you ever thought about swimming that distance?
No, never.
Me either. I'm with you there, Cole.
It did not cross my mind.
So you're telling me, Premier, you haven't got your Speedos and your goggles on this morning.
No. But look, 2,500 swimmers this morning. Terrific. And an incredibly well-organised event. Surf lifesavers, you know, hundreds of boats still, you know, just off the shore. So it's a great event. And West Australians seem to love these mass participation events, and this one's been going for 25 years now, and so many excited, nervous, apprehensive swimmers, and so many every year who say, oh, this is my last one, but they're back again next year. So just a great fun event.
I tell you who'd be good at, if he's still in the job this time next year, who'd be really good to do it, and he loves getting in his budgie smugglers, is Tony Abbott, the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Could you invite him over maybe?
Yeah, we could.
Not that good.
I don't know, Tony. Yeah, Tony, I'm sure, look, he can swim, run, ride a bike, do everything. But, look, there's lots of, a couple of Olympians swimming this morning, and I think there's about 50 competitors from overseas and about 150 from elsewhere in Australia. So regulars come every year to this event, and it's, probably the big in terms of participation, the biggest open water swim in the world.
Wow.
What are the conditions down there this morning, Premier?
Calmer now. Earlier this morning at the start when it was still dark, it was quite choppy, but it settled down. But it will be a hard swim this morning because there's no doubt the breeze is going to come in. And for some of the maybe lesser swimmers, they'll find it a bit tough.
Not just the breeze, but the fact that it's 19.7 kilometres is probably the toughest thing.
Yeah, that's a bit of a factor.
Yeah, it sure is. So will you be heading over to the Rotto pub then for a beer after the race?
No, I've done that before, and that's a pretty good weekend at Rotto. But
yeah.
I've got a few other things on today, but I've been down on the beach for a couple of hours this morning, and there'd be 2,000 or 3,000 people watching the swimmers take off, and a lot of laugh, a lot of humour, a lot of nerves. It's good. Great event.
It's good stuff. And can I say, I'm not sure who's supposed to get all the credit or some of the credit, but obviously you've had something to do with it. WA going beautifully at the moment. The Giants, outstanding success. There was a great footy game at Leaderville yesterday with the Indigenous All-Stars. Mm. The Eagles, the old Eagles, were actually playing at Domain Stadium, and One Direction last night as well. It's all happening. I tell you what, they used to call us...
Dullsville.
But, geez, they're wrong now, aren't they, Premier?
It has changed, and this summer has been really good. A whole lot of events, and really, even going back to before Christmas, the commemoration of the Anzac convoys going out of Albany was a huge event. Mm. All those events you're talking about, and Sculpture by the Sea down here on Cottesloe Beach in a few weeks' time. So it's been a fantastic summer this year.
Yeah, well done. Keep up the good work, and enjoy the beach. Good time to be down there, I reckon, this time of the morning.
Beautiful morning.
Yeah, a few of the late arrivals are now coming down for a swim. But, we're so lucky to have these beaches we've got in Western Australia, and there's just kids running around all having a great time. The Rottnest Swim, great organisation. Northcott Surf Club's come down and repainted the pylon in their colours, so that'll be a bit of territorial war between the two surf clubs for the rest of the weekend. Cottesloe will be out repainting it this afternoon, I think.
You sound in good spirits. Thanks for joining us on the Dead Set Legends.
Okay, good on you guys. Cheers.
Our next guest, Ange, like yourself, an HBF ambassador for the HBF Run for Reason coming up on the 24th of May. But Brant Garvey is also the first Australian above-the-knee amputee to compete in an Ironman triathlon.
Unbelievable.
Where he set a world record. And, of course, the Ironman is a 3.8-kilometre swim, a 180k ride, And then you finish with a marathon, a 42K marathon.
So how come I'm an ambassador then? How am I inspiring compared to that?
I know. Well, he is the other ambassador that we all look up to. And he joins us at the moment. G'day, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Oh, mate. What about that? So that was the Busselton Ironman, was it? And how tough was it? And having an artificial limb... I think you were telling us before you have actually three legs that you use, do you?
Yeah. So I have one for everyday stuff, just like sitting and getting around. And then I have a cycling leg, which is quite lightweight. And then I have the carbon fibre blade leg, which is like the Rolls Royce of artificial legs.
But still, wow. A 42K run, that must have been agonising, was it, with an artificial leg?
Yeah, look, there was... definitely moments. I mean, at the 30-kilometre mark, I could feel that my little toenail was no longer attached, and every time I landed on that foot, it would slide around. But
on your other foot?
On the foot that I have, yeah, the real one. So that was breaking down, but the artificial one was going quite well.
Oh, jeez. And this HBF run for reasons significant for you, isn't it? Because it was the first time you ever did 12Ks a couple of years ago. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I'd started running earlier that year, and I started doing very short distances and was building my way up. I think at that stage I'd ran 5K when I was about ready to sign up for the HBF run for a reason. But I was raising money for Cancer WA based on the fact that my sister had cancer in the past. And, yeah, so it's a very, very important and special event for me and the first time I ran 12Ks without stopping.
And are you going to be running this year's?
Yes, I'm going to be running every year that I possibly can. This Brilliant. Year I'm doing the 4K flat out, so I'm just going to be sprinting.
Oh, fantastic.
Flat out. Yep. Are you giving yourself a time that you wanted to do 4Ks in?
Yeah. Look, I would love to do 4Ks in probably... 19 minutes would be.
Oh God,
we'd be happy.
That awesome. Is quick.
And is that building up to something? Are you building up towards the Paralympics in Rio? Is that the goal?
Yeah, so trying to qualify for 2016 in Rio, where they're introducing para triathlon into the Paralympics.
Wow. What's the process of qualifying for that?
So there's two pathways. Either I can win world championships this year, which is obviously ideal, because then I can just focus on getting better and faster. The second way is the qualification season, which is next financial year, and you've just got to finish that season ranked in the top seven in the world to get a spot.
Well, you're sitting next to a bloke who did his first half marathon on New Year's Eve at midnight. So have you got any tips for Andrew Embley? Tell Enders, what was going on there? You ran to Northbridge.
Yes, no, I had a moment on New Year's Eve and ended up putting my joggers on and... yeah, running half a marathon at about midnight. So I got home just before 2 a.m. Yeah, jumped in the pool, did a little recovery, and was ready for Cuban Club in the morning.
So it was, you're a it was classic. Good.
Means there's no excuse to not do the 21Ks for the HBF run.
No, I'll never do that again. I'm still recovering. Yeah. Means if you can do it, I can do it.
You would have seen some sights on New Year's Eve as well. Mm. Well, we wish you all the best. The Run for Reason's brilliant. I guess you guys are the ambassadors. You can register already. Is that how it works?
Yeah, you can.
Yep, you can.
I might even do the... Embers, what about the 4K? The Ramsey Healthcare 4K.
Listen, there's a possibility, mate. You let me know when we're doing it. When is it? Sunday 24th of May. Is that right?
That's right.
Could we keep up with a great man, do you reckon?
I'm not sure if we'll keep up, but we'll certainly encourage him through.
Brant, you're an absolute inspiration, mate. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in the run. We'll have a go.
Thanks so much for your time this morning, guys.
Good luck.
We'll see you at the beginning anyway. And at the end, probably. Roston Griffiths is our man inside the glory, and I bet he's looking forward to this. G'day, mate. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, what sort of week's it been like? I saw some media hiding in the bushes at training at McGilvray there. It must have been a bit strange, was it, from an insider looking out?
Yeah, very strange week. Obviously, something that probably the Perth Glory is not used to. And certainly Perth Glory, you know, footballer playing, haven't had that experience yet. So, very, very interesting week for the boys. And like you say, media hiding in the bushes was the first for me.
We should just say what happened was their best player, Andy Keogh, and one of his mates got arrested in Adelaide. You're at Zhivago nightclub, weren't you? Were you there as well, G-Man?
Oh, I wouldn't know.
I tell you what was funny, Roston. I saw him post a picture of himself with his wife at the nightclub, which must have been before he got arrested for, I think it was urinating in the street.
Disorderly conduct.
Disorderly conduct, was it? So was it a storm in a beer mug, do you reckon, mate, or what?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, those sort of things happen fairly often. You know, I mean, I don't mean getting arrested. You know, going out with the boys or whatever and celebrating a victory and, obviously, it's gone a little bit out of hand and it gets blown up because of the sort of profile that Andy brings to the club. But, you know,
the funny thing was, though, you didn't win, did you? You had a draw too. So what's it going to be like if you win over there?
Drawing against Adelaide away is like a win for us.
Fair enough.
But following last weekend's incident, curfews have now been put in place. How do you feel about that?
He spoiled it for everyone.
it's probably right. I think at this stage of the season, it's sort of coming to the business end, you know, and, you know, we obviously pushing for that top two spot and have done so well all season. So we don't want to go and ruin it now come the end of the season. So all the players have agreed to that, and that's something that we'll obviously try and adhere to for the rest of the season.
What is the curfew, though? What is it, midnight or...?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we keep saying we're going off Perth time, so if we go 1 o'clock, that's perfect for us.
Clever.
Well, if you ask me, Roston, any publicity is good publicity, and we've been talking about you blokes all week, but you spoke about it before. You got a point away last week to Adelaide. It was a really important point. It must give you guys a fair bit of confidence going into tomorrow's game against Melbourne City.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Adelaide have obviously... beat us a few times this season, so it was important to go away and get a result over there, whether it was a win or a draw. Obviously keeps us top of the table, and you know, going to Melbourne City away now, we've been good away from home. It's a team that we should beat if we're on song, and you know, we need the points now, especially Melbourne victory game got cancelled last night, so it puts us even further away if we get a result tomorrow. So boys are definitely fired up after the week we've had, and the week of training this week has just been, you know, really on song. Everyone's been really sharp, and probably a little bit of a kick up the backside, and everyone's firing.
So you're thinking that Andy Keogh and Josh Risden in particular will be very good. Andy looked pretty fired up.
That's the good thing about football. Like, you know, these things sort of happen, but then you get your chance to prove yourself to everybody on the weekend, you know, and sort of forget about it. And I wouldn't be surprised if Andy or someone like that scores this weekend, just because that's just how football sort of writes its story itself at times. And I think, you know, I'd put my money on that.
Can I just say that Andrew Embley was nodding his head there when you were saying that you can get back on the field and clear up some of the off-field stuff straight away?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been through it, mate. We've been through it. I know what you're going through at the moment.
Yeah. That is the positive thing about sport, though. And, you know, everyone will sort of not forget, but it's, you know, you move on quickly if he puts in a good performance, and I'm sure he will. He's that type of character, and so is Joshy. So,
yeah, good as gold. But just tell him to use the bathroom next time, and we're all sweet. Good on you, Roston. Enjoy the game. We hope you win tomorrow against the Melbourne City.
Good luck.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thanks, guys.
Well, our next guest, it's Rodney Hogg, former fast bowler for Australia and all-round raconteur. No relation to Brad Hogg, but one of Australia's greatest fast bowlers, joins us on the line after England's worst performance, they're saying, in 150 years. Jeez. Hoggy, that must be music to your ears.
I wish I was related to Brad Hogg. Yeah, they put in an absolute shocker, didn't they, England? And, look, there's not much in it for them, really. When you do a bit of research on them, and if you look at the Australian history of batsmen, you'll go back and you'll see Bradman, obviously, superstar, but only made about 5,000 runs. All the old superstars are way down the list because the Steve Waugh's and the Ponies have all come through and made twice as many runs. But you go back through the English, I'll tell you what, the highest run getter is, we're talking Test cricket now, but Gucci's on about 8,000. That's the highest run getter. And you've only got Cook, really. Cook Bell's 10th now. Cook's about third. They just haven't produced any cricketers, any batsmen over the years. It's an amazing to just look at English cricket.
That's good stats. The and then other great stats are England all out for 123. And New Zealand won by 8 wickets, and it only took them 12 overs, Hoggy. 12 overs at the World Cup.
I think the stat was 8 wickets and 270 or 280 balls to spare, so it didn't read very well. Now, pathetic performance by them, and when the captain comes out, and let's face it, he's Irish, so he's not going to really bleed for England, but he just came out and he was so sort of reserved, and you'd be coming out going, hey, we were terrible, we were pathetic, we've really let our supporters down. But he came out and he said, oh, well, they swung the ball around, we didn't expect them to swing it that long. Well, sorry, fellas, apparently sometimes the bowlers are allowed to swing the ball.
And you tell me how their best batsman, Kevin Peterson, can't get a game in that team.
Yeah, exactly.
I can tell you, I can give you about 5 reasons why he can't get a game.
Now,
he doesn't fit.
doesn't fit in with the current modern-day cricket. And apparently, when you look at that with the Kevin Pearson, and he doesn't fit in with the group, apparently probably the group have got to have a little bit of a look at themselves and just get a bit of spark. I mean, that's what Pearson's got. He might be a little bit different. He might be a bit of an only child sort of a cricketer, but you've got to have the X factor in your team, and they just ain't got the X factor in them. They're sort of a controlled, quiet sort of Balgo, just goes about his work. You need in sport, you need someone with a bit of personality, don't you, Barrett?
Yeah, that's true. Now, talking about star, you know, the X factor and being a big star, Clarkie's meant to make his comeback today, but I'm looking at the Brisbane radar. There is a hell of a lot of rain heading their way. What, the game's meant to get underway in about 3 hours' time. I reckon it's going to be a washout. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's just a total washout. I was up there yesterday morning. I was petrified about trying to catch a plane out. There was so much rain, and I think that people in Brisbane have got a lot more problems than today's one-day game. And it's good for Bangladesh because they pick up a draw, so they get some points or a point. I don't know whether you get 1 point or 2 points for a draw. And what will happen there, they may push... England may not make the quarterfinals based on that, because Bangladesh, if they pick up a victory or beat England, that'll be the end of England once again in the competition. But just too wet up there, and obviously the preparation for Michael Clarke's not the best, so we'll keep reading about Michael Clarke.
We sure will.
And reading about Michael Clarke, mate, the big question is, who does he replace in the Australian cricket team? A lot of people talking about George Bailey. I thought his innings last week against England was extremely timely, but, a lot of people are talking that maybe Shane Watson's time's finally up.
I think Watson might, I don't know how the selectors think, but I think you might find that Watson's one of the first picked. He averages 40 in one-day cricket. He obviously got a first ball duck last weekend, but I think you can't have Smith, Clark and Bailey in the same team. They bat the same way. So Clark comes in, Bailey goes out. I would have thought the other selection down the track is, how do you get Faulkner back into the team? Mitch Marsh playing so well the other day. I don't think he'll get a fifer like that again. I don't know if he really beat the bat too many times. They were caught in the outfield, but still, it's a fifer, and he's going along beautifully in his career. So how do you get Faulkner back in the team?
Yeah.
Best finish.
Don't touch Marshy, please, Hoggy, no doubt. Hey,
don't poke the bear. Yeah, don't poke you Western Australians. Not allowed to touch the Western Australians.
He's our man. Good on you, Hoggy. Enjoy the cricket. Thanks for joining us on the Dead Set Legends.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
The Dead Set Legends. Mix 94.5.